Then 73 has been announced as our song of encouragement and invitation. And at the conclusion of our words of exhortation this morning, we'll be singing that song as we stand. And we'll be inviting anyone to come who needs to obey the Lord. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, haven't been added to the church that you can read about in the New Testament, the Church of Christ, we want to encourage you to consider doing that on this day. If you have a sufficient understanding of what the will of God is for you in your life. If you have trespassed or erred along the way, we hope and trust that you would repent. And if you need to confess before us this morning, we want to encourage you to do that. Or if you just need to request prayer, we want to encourage you to come and request prayer. And again, prayer request forms have been provided in the pocket of the pew in front of where you're sitting. If you care not to verbalize your prayer request, then just write it down, and those request forms will be collected, and your need will be prayed for. So however we can serve you on this day, please do not hesitate to let us know. Again, welcome to all, and thank you so much for being with us on this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27 were read into our hearing. I want to reread just two passages of it, the last two verses, to emphasize our lesson on today. Verse number 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. To be referred to as a fool generally is offensive to us. However, the Bible uses this term fool as it describes, or as it points out, the condition of the attitudes of one's heart as it relates to one's relationship to the will of God. So this morning's lesson, entitled Be Careful Not to Be a Fool, is not designed to be insulting or to be offensive to anyone. But this lesson is designed to cause us to do some self-evaluation to make sure that we are right with our God. Our lesson text lets us know that if we expect to be saved and to go home to live with God and to be happy over there, as we've just sung, then we must be right with our God. For the first verse of the passage that was read, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If we are going to be saved eternally, the passage points out that we must do the will of God. It's a little wonder then that Jesus would describe one that hears his word and does not do them. He likens that person to a fool. It's foolish, poor judgment, not to do God's will, knowing that he requires us to do his will, and miss out on going to heaven. So I want to encourage us again this morning, be careful not to be a fool. I want to talk to you this morning briefly about three areas in which the Bible, which the Lord refers to people and likened them unto a fool. In this passage that we just read, the man who builds his house on the sand, he says, he's just like a fool. A sand gives a building no stability. You can't get a good foundation in the sand. That's why when buildings are built, the builders are very careful, those who design buildings are very careful to make sure that those footings penetrate the sand and go down deep enough to get on some solid ground. Because sand will not substantiate a building. So Jesus says again, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man that builds his house on the sand. And when the rains descend, and when the floods come, and when the winds beat upon that house, he says it falls, and great is the fall of it. Our lives, to have true meaning and to find favor with God, must be built on a solid foundation. Otherwise, we are traveling through life like a fool. Be careful not to be a fool. And that solid foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. Remember again, he says, here's these sayings of mine. Not sayings that you have heard somewhere else, but he says, sayings of mine. He is that sure, he is that solid foundation that our lives must be built upon. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. Paul said to the church there, and he was speaking to some Christians there, in verse number 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, for other foundation can what? No man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, that's the only true foundation that we can depend upon to make sure that our lives are right in the sight of God. The psalmist said in the long ago in Psalm 127, in verse number 1, except the Lord builds the house, they that build it, they labor in vain. Again, except the Lord is the foundation of my life and of your life, we're just laboring in vain. We may think things are going well with us, but in the end, we will wish that we had built our lives on the Word of God. And Paul said this in Galatians chapter 6, in verse number 7. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. God cannot be imposed upon. That's what that word mock means. We cannot impose upon God and make him accept our will. He says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We can't sow to the flesh and then impose upon God to allow us to reap something else. If we want to reap life everlasting, we're going to have to sow to the Spirit. Again, we're going to have to align our lives with the will of God if we want to have life everlasting. Don't expect God's blessings in our lives if we refuse to obey him. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, and verse number 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus says, why are you even calling me? Why are you calling me Master? Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, if you're not going to do what I say? No wonder he would say again, the person that hears these sayings of mine and refuses to do them, he's just like a fool. Just like a fool, this man that builds his house upon the sand. You see, heaven, the glory land that we sing about, being happy over there that we sing about, heaven is not an automatic blessing. We have to obey God to be saved. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8, speaking concerning Jesus, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Who's Jesus going to save? He's going to save all them that obey him. Don't you want to obey Jesus? Don't you want to be saved? The condition is laid down. Jesus says, if you want me to save you, you got to obey me. That's why, again, he says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So the Bible talks about a foolish builder. Be careful not to build your life upon the sand, but build it upon that sure foundation, which is Jesus Christ. But then the Bible also describes someone else as being like a fool. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 1, the Bible says this, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were what? Foolish. Again, generally speaking, people don't like to be referred to as a fool. But I'm only relating to you what the Bible says. I'm only saying what the Lord says. So I'm just the mailman carrying the letter. The Lord wrote the letter. I'm just delivering it. So it says here, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in the vessel with their lamps. This illustrates one who waits too late to get prepared, because as the story goes on concerning these virgins, you see that they had to go and buy extra oil when the bridegroom came. And when they got back, the Bible says the door was shut. They waited too late to get prepared. So there is a foolish preparer. We must not travel through life being foolish preparers. We cannot wait until the last minute to try to get prepared. Many go through life failing to make the necessary preparations that they know that they should. The time will come when all opportunity will be gone. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 9, in verse number 4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man and see how to work. Jesus was saying, opportunity one day is going to pass, and we'll never be able to do what we should have done. That's why we need to do what we should do right now, because we never know when that time of opportunity will pass. These foolish virgins, no doubt, thought that they would have plenty of time. They decided, we're not going to take any extra oil. We'll have time. But when the bridegroom came, they cried out to those who had the extra oil, give us some of your oil. They said, no. You go and you buy some. I want to say to us this morning that nobody can help us when the bridegroom comes. We're going to have to stand before our Lord for ourselves. None of your righteousness can help me. None of my righteousness can help you when the Lord comes. We're going to have to stand before our God on our own merit. As I heard Brother Rudolph said when he was preaching my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, rather, funeral the other day, he said the old people used to say it like this, that every tub going to have to sit on his own bottom. And what that simply means, that each one of us going to have to be responsible for ourselves to God. Again, we can't borrow from somebody else. We're going to have to stand there for ourselves. So we need to go through life staying prepared. Not hoping to get prepared, but staying prepared. Because we never know again when the time will come. You see, life is so uncertain. James says it like this in James chapter 4 and verse number 13. He says, go to now, you that say that we're going to go into such a city and we're going to stay there a year and we're going to sell and we're going to buy and we're going to get gain. He said, what is your life? It's just a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. He said, what you ought to say, if the Lord wills, that we should live and do this and do that. So many people go through life as though, again, they have their own destiny in their own hands, knowing that they'll be able to turn right when they want to turn right, turn around when they want to turn around, go forward when they want to go forward. We don't have that destiny in our hands. Life is so uncertain, so we need to stay prepared at all times. These virgins that were classified as foolish were not prepared when the bridegroom came. Jesus would say it like this in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 42 through 44. Notice what he would say. He says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. He said, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would have watched. If somebody was going to break in our houses, and we knew exactly what time they were going to break in, we'd be right there, waiting for them. This is what Jesus is saying. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. But he goes on and says this, therefore, be ye also ready. Do you see that? He says, be ready. Don't get ready. He says, be ready. Stay ready. Why? Because you know not what hour your Lord shall come. Don't go through life being a foolish preparer. But we need to go through life staying prepared by staying in the will of God, staying in a state of readiness. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, the Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so, when the bridegroom came again, they wanted to go in. But the door had been shut. Don't let the Lord shut the door on you. That's my point. The Lord is going to shut the door one day. You make sure that you're where you ought to be. I need to make sure that I'm where I need to be, doing what I need to be doing, so that when that door is shut, I won't be on the outside knocking, saying, open up, let me in. Stay prepared is what I'm saying. Unless you're prepared, you're going through life as a foolish preparer. But then there's another description of one who the Bible calls foolish. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 13 through 21, the story is told there of this man who came to Jesus and says, speak to my brother that he might divide the inheritance with me. Jesus says, man, who made me a judge over you? He says, beware of covetousness. A man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possessed. And you know what? Things get a lot of us in trouble. So many of us think that things make us, and that life is all about things. The more toys I have, the happier I'll be. The more friends I have, the more popular I'll be. All of these kinds of things we wrap our minds around, thinking that they make us what we ought to be. But Jesus says, things don't make us. Life is more than things. And that's what he wanted this man to know. Jesus said, let me tell you a story. That the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And the man said to himself, what am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. He thought within himself, the Bible says, I'm going to tear down the bonds that I have. And I'm going to build bigger bonds. And there I'll be able to bestow all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You see how this man is reasoning, how he's thinking? He's a foolish person thinking like this. And the reason why I know he's a foolish person thinking like that, because God called him a fool. So the Bible goes on and says, as we look at the story, in verse number 20, the Bible says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be that thou hast prepared? Again, he thought that all of the stuff he had, and there's nothing wrong with stuff. God blesses us with stuff because God knows we need stuff to get through this life. But God wants us to have stuff, and don't let stuff have us. That's where the problem comes in. When you have things, but don't let the things have you. When things have you, things control you. So don't give yourself under the control of things, because things, when you let them control you, will cause you to do things just to keep things so that you can have more things that you can't keep anyway. Don't let things have you. You have things. And use things for the glory of God. This man in this story, all he was thinking about was himself. What I'm going to do, I'm going to say to my soul, I got all of this stuff for many years. I'm going to sit down and take it easy. Yes, God blesses us with things, but he wants us to use things for his glory. So he says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. So let's make sure again that we don't have the wrong conception of things, because God will call us a fool. And if God calls you a fool, God doesn't make any mistakes. He knows exactly what we are. My point is, again, we need to be very careful that we are not fools. We want to be wise individuals. And Jesus said the wise individuals hear what he say, and not only do they hear what he say, but they do what he say. No wonder James would say, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. But if any man be a doer of his word, and I'd rather a hearer of his word and not a doer, he says, just like a man that beholds his face in a mirror. He looks and he sees what he looks like. But then you go straight away and forget it. We need to not only be hearers, but we need to be doers. Make sure that we are not fools. We need to make sure again that we are wise. Ephesians 5:17 says this, therefore, or wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Wise people want to know what the will of the Lord is. Why? Because Jesus says if we do his will, he's going to liken us unto a wise man. So wise people then want to know what his will is. And his will is contained, again, in his word. Again, Matthew 7 and verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. So if we do God's will, then we will be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. His will is found in his word, and God wants all of us to know his will and to do his will because he wants to save all of us. It's God's will that everybody be saved. Look at what the Bible says in John chapter, or rather, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3 and 4. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to be saved. But in order to be saved, we've got to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is the word of God. John 17 and verse 17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. So we must come to know the word of God so that we'll know what the truth is. And then when we learn what the truth is, then we can apply the truth to our lives, and the Lord won't call us a fool. Jesus has denoted that he's the only way to be saved. John 14 and verse number 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. If we want to get to the Father, then we've got to go by Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's spokesman. Hebrews 1:1, God who had sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, having these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus speaks to us God's word. Jesus sent the Spirit back to inspire the apostles and men of inspiration to write the truth of God's will down. And so we have it now on the pages of inspiration. So when we read the word of God, we are reading and listening to God speak to us through the scripture. So we must then apply these things in our lives. God wants people to be saved everywhere. God has one way of saving everybody. God doesn't have two ways. He doesn't have three ways. He has one way of saving everybody, and that way is through Jesus Christ. It is revealed that everyone is to be saved in the one body that Jesus purchased when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Ephesians 3, verse number 4, the Bible says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed to the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The promise of the gospel is to save people from their sin. Christ is the Savior of that body, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. There is one body, Ephesians 4 and verse number 4, and that body is the church. Ephesians 1 verse 22, the Bible says, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is the body of Christ. So again, that's God's way of saving people. The church also is referred to as the kingdom. When we started off talking about those wise and foolish virgins, he said the kingdom of heaven is lack. He was teaching the principle that the church of our Lord is lack. So I deduced from that that there are some wise folks in the church, and there are some foolish folks in the church. The question is, which one are we? I hope we all are striving to be wise individuals in the kingdom, wise individuals in the church. So the church is referred to as the kingdom. And that's why the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When you obey the will of God, he takes you from the power of darkness and he carries you over, translates you, and puts you into the kingdom or into the church. We're in that church then that Jesus promised to build and did build. And why is it so important to be in the church? Why is it so important to be in the kingdom? Because one day the kingdom is going to be given back to God. And in order for us to be given back to God, we're going to have to be in the thing that's going to be given back to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24, Paul said it like this. He says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even to the Father. At the end of time, the Lord is going to take the church and give it back to God. But I remind us all that everybody in the church is not going to be given back to God, because the angels are going to come back before that happens and take out of the kingdom, Matthew 13 and verse 41, all that offend and do iniquity, all who refuse to do the will of God, all who are not prepared, all who get wrapped up in stuff and let stuff have them and get caught up in the judgment with stuff having them. The angel's going to take all of that out of the kingdom. When the kingdom goes back to God, it's going to be pure. Don't you want to go back to God? Then don't go through life as a fool, but go through life doing the will of God. Therefore, we must listen then to Christ. God says that we need to listen to Christ. Matthew 17 and verse number 5. Peter had another idea. Peter wanted to build 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The Bible says, while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of that cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We need to hear Christ. We don't need to hear grandma, not when it comes to our salvation. We don't need to hear husband and wife when it comes to our salvation. We need to hear Christ. You don't need to hear your best buddy, your best friend. We need to hear Christ. Christ is our Savior. That's why, again, the scripture started off that Anderson read this morning. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, we got to hear Christ, because he's the Savior. And today he's going to be our judge. And he's going to judge us according to everything that we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. So I would encourage all of us then to make sure that as we go through life, make sure that we don't go through life being found a fool. But we need to be wise individuals. Jesus said it like this, John chapter 12 and verse number 48. He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word has one that judges him. For the words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you at the last day. He went on in the next verse and says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the one that sent me gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandments are life everlasting. Jesus is the one that we're to listen to. So let's be wise people. Let's listen to Jesus. Let's study our Bibles. And let's conduct our lives according to the will of God. And if you really want to be a fool, then be a fool for Christ's sake. Paul said it like this. When people were disparaging him and the other apostles, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 10, he said, we are fools for Christ's sake. Let's be a fool for Christ's sake. But don't be a fool for our own sake, but be a fool for Christ's sake. Be careful that we don't go through life and be found a fool. I hope this lesson has encouraged us this morning, because God, again, wants all of us to come home to live with him. But the only ones that are going to come, again, are those that do his will. The scripture says again, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He said, many are going to come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not cast out devils in thy name? Did we not do mighty, wonderful works in thy name? But Jesus says, I will profess unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. That's what we want to get to. We want to be wise, don't we? That build his house upon the rock. upon that solid foundation. And when the rains descended and when the floods came and when the wind blew and beat upon that house, it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man that build his house upon the sand. And when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. You don't want your house to fall. You want your house to stand. I'm talking about the spiritual house now. You want your physical one to stand too, but more so, because one day the physical one is going to go anyway. But the spiritual one is going to be with us, either in heaven with God or in the hell with the devil. I want mine to be in heaven with God, don't you? So let's do what Christ says. Let's not be found a fool, but let's be wise. If you're here then this morning, having not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. Be wise today. Hear and believe the gospel. That's God's plan. Hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Become a member of the church. Live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2:10. Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. Would you come then to the Lord this morning? Give your life to the Lord this morning. If you need to confess of an erring way, would you come? If you need prayer, would you come? We're standing now and we're going to sing. While we're doing that, would you come if you need to come?
I know the Lord will find a way.